Okay, well, welcome to tonight's call. This is Dr. Bill Blatchford. Tonight we have a guest, Dr. Tara Jennings, with us. This is Playing Your A-Game. This is a monthly call that we do. We have about 60 doctors signed up for the call tonight, and using WebEx, I can see probably half of them are here at this point, and we're going to go ahead and get started. What we do in this call is we interview some of our clients. We started out interviewing clients that were in the book, Playing Your A-Game. We are now interviewing some other clients that are not in the book. Tara was not in that original book, and I would like to announce that we have a new book coming out in early May. It's called Blatchford Blueprint, and we have interviewed again a number of offices that are doing different things, showing diversity of the various types of practices that we coach, lessons learned. We also have quite a bit of how-to in that book, and it will be out first part of May. I remind you that the proceeds from the book, we've donated the proceeds to the Juvenile Diabetic Research Foundation because our younger daughter has type 1 diabetes, and also Nancy Granahan, who works with us, suffers from that as well. And it's a terrible disease. There is no cure at this point, and we're hoping that with the money raised, that in our lifetime there will be a cure for it. We have another client, Ken Novak, who's had this since he was a child as well. And so we're hoping to make a little contribution to that. We also give some money to the Oregon Health Science Center Dental School, where our daughter is going to be graduating in June. So tonight we have Dr. Jennings here on the phone. I also want to remind you that every year, the last week of February, first part of March, my wife and I sponsor a ski trip to Park City, Utah. We just returned from that, where we skied last week with a group of our clients and some that were not clients or just came along for the fun. All seminars are done on the chairlift and over some very nice meals. It's a very informal ski meeting, probably the most informal ski meeting you'll ever attend in your life. But it is fun. We'll be doing it at the same time again next year. So let's get right into this. With Dr. Tara Jennings is on the phone. Let's start. I'm going to introduce her. Tara, why don't you start out and just give us a little thumbnail sketch of your background. Tonight what we're going to be talking about, of course, is balance, and I have a few slides that I want to use as we go through this, but let's start with just a little background from Tara. You know, why don't you start, you know, where you grew up, where you went to school, the town you're in, a little thumbnail sketch of the practice you have.
Okay. Well, I am from Central Illinois, and I went to a school at the University of Illinois in Chicago for dental school. And, you know, when I met my husband, he was from Wisconsin, and so I followed him up here to Wisconsin. So we settled in Stevens Point, a nice little college town, with quite a few dentists, to be honest with you. And initially I was an associate for about 6.5, 7 years, and recently bought my own practice a year ago. And it was just a year in January, and now I'm just, you know, you feel like you kind of learn things that you don't want to do when you're in the associateship, but of course there's more responsibility that comes along with having your own practice. So,
Well, one of the things, for those of you, I don't know, Tara, are you on WebEx on the computer, or are you just doing it on the telephone?
I am, yeah. I'm on the
So I put some slides up here, and if those of you have a computer in front of you, Tara is a mother. She has two children. How old are your children, Tara?
I have an 18-month-old and a 3.5-year-old.
Okay. And so you're a mother, you're a wife, you're a dentist. Tell us a bit more about your practice. You bought this small, it was a small practice, and you bought it, I believe.
Yes. The first practice I thought is small, yes. And there were a couple other retiring dentists in town or gentlemen that I knew would be approaching that. And so I had mentioned to them to keep me in mind if they were going to be getting to a point where they wanted to be done. So with the first office, I bought the equipment, and the staff came along with it. I kept it. And so there's been some turnover, but, you know, that's thanks to you, really, that I've turnover.
And now you joined our coaching program about when?
Well, in April is when we had our summit, and then you know, in May is when we really got going. That's when changes really started to happen.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the sequence here of all of this. You bought the practice a year ago. You joined our program about 4 months later. What drove you in our direction?
Well, I had had an eye on the program when I was in the associateship, but I knew that I would get it started once I started my own practice. And so in January, when in the associateship, I was working 3 days a week. And then in January, I started to work on Thursdays also, so I was now working 4 days a week for my own practice. And I finally called Carol and said, you know, Bogner, let's get started. And, like, yesterday I wanted to get started. That was because I was spending time on Fridays, you know, charting, getting...
So you were doing patients 4 days a week and then spending all day Friday also working on the practice.
Yes. And Saturday, you know, the weekend, too, it was...
Oh, the weekends, too.
I really felt like it was taking over and I wasn't having a balance anymore with my family. Yeah. So...
Okay, let's talk about the sequence here just a little bit. And by the way, for all of you listening in, please, if you're not speaking, hit the *6 on your phone, and that will mute you. And then if you want to speak, want to ask a question, we're going to have some time to ask questions here in a few moments, and you'll have to hit that *6, and it will take a few moments before we can hear you. So be patient. Hit this. If you want a question to come up, and we're going to be asking Tara some questions, you can ask questions of me as well. You'll hit the *6 again, and that will unmute your phone, and that will really help. I'm going to go back here to out of this for just a moment, see how many people we have on here right now. Okay, we have a nice number. Very good. And so let's go back to some of these slides again. All right, so let's talk about you have an 18-month-old and a 3.5-year-old and a husband, everybody, we have about 60 people signed up on this call tonight. I notice about 55 of them are women who all try to balance the same thing. And the reason I put this call together, of course, is that the face of dentistry has changed dramatically, and about 50% of the graduates coming out now are women. And in our program, our top producers are women. It's really interesting. Last year, of our top three producers, two are women. And our top three producers last year, they all work a three-day work week. And so I thought that would make an interesting topic for our call here tonight. So let's talk about your practice. You started from scratch. What was that practice producing a year ago?
Oh my gosh, probably like $300,000.
Around $300,000.
Oh yeah.
And now you're doing about. I mean, so far this year, you're on track to do about $850,000.
That's right.
I mean, you're doing $70,000 a month here the last couple of months, and you grew steadily during from April on. Now you added another small practice. How large was that practice?
Really about the same size. I would say both of them had about 800 patients, and so two small practices made one medium-sized practice, is how I like to say, and that worked for me with me wanting to work 3 days a week, and on that fourth day now, I, you know, just am doing charting or writing checks or returning phone calls. I'm not doing that on the other 3 days of the week, so that I save it for Thursday, and then, you know, I have time to be a mom and a wife also.
Now, this is one of the ideas that we have, and I'm going to come back to this in a little bit, but we expose Tara to a concept that we call focus time, where you actually do your production, and that's her 3 days a week. And then we have buffer time or administrative time, and for Tara, that's a half a day on Thursday morning, and she actually books Thursday afternoon, makes an appointment at a spa or with a trainer to go to a gym, and then that makes Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday absolute free time. And this is a concept that we teach, and it's very productive, and it's we find actually that the doctors who follow this actually produce more than the doctors who work 4 and even 5 days a week, because when they're there, they're working, and their staff knows not to bother them with administrative things during the 3 days. That strictly, we're treating patients. Our mind is strictly on the dentistry and how we can serve those patients, and we're not being torn. We're not answering phone calls. We're not answering email. We're strictly focusing on patients. Then on Thursdays, when they have this, they actually go in and they do their administrative work all at the same time, of course. Now, so you're doing about $70,000 a month right now. What's your new patient flow, Tara?
Well, I would say we have about 20 new patients a month, and you know, we're doing some different things for that, and that's what will happen on Thursdays for me, too, is I will meet with different marketing people to, you know, decide whether I'm going to go on the radio or, you know, do a care-to-share program, that type of thing.
What else do you do on Thursday mornings besides, say, marketing things?
Well, you know, if someone needs to meet with me to, you know, do a consultation, maybe something that's not going to, you know, be a, you know, a producing, production cell, you know, I can do that type of thing on a Thursday. I mean, my receptionist will even, you know, tell people that, you know, I will get back to them on Thursday, and she's very clear that if I'm not producing, then, you know, then they're not going to benefit from that either, and so she really sees the benefit in that.
So your staff understands, your team understands this concept well.
Yes, they do, but I didn't get there, you know, overnight. Like I say, when I bought the first practice, the employees that were with it, that previous doctor stayed with me, and when I came out and met with you, you know, we talked about what I wanted to be doing, and one of those things was I wanted to work 3 days a week because that's what I had enjoyed with my associateship, and then we evaluated my different employees and realized that, you know, you had me number them from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, and, you know, I had 1-9, and, you know, it was very clear that I needed to have some star performers working with me, and, you know, I was able to turn that around, and that's what started happening really after that summit. Within a month, you know, I was making changes, and just kind of by talking with you and putting my ideas down on paper, was able to, you know, see what changes I needed to make and, you know, let go employees that weren't working.
So one of the things that we do, for those of you listening, that are, I see a number of our own clients on the call, one of the things that we do is when a new client signs on with Blatchford Solutions, the client and their spouse and Tara and her husband came out and met with us here in Portland, and sometimes we meet the different parts of the country, but they came to Portland, and we sit down and we start to explore dreams. We start to find out, okay, what are the dreams? Where does this doctor want to take this practice? How do they want their life to be? Because for me, life is something that we do in a short period of time. I mean, I feel that life is extremely short on this planet, and we only have a finite amount of time. None of us know how long that is. But I want to make the best of it while I'm here, and I don't want to be caught in this myth that I don't have enough time. We all have enough time. We just don't use it properly, or we don't use it effectively. And I like to design my life first, and that's what I help my clients do, design their life first. And I have no agenda for this. I mean, I don't care if you work 3 days a week or 5 days a week, or whether you want to raise a family, not raise a family, whether you want to travel the world, not travel the world. It makes no difference. But I help you explore your dreams. And then we assess where we are and what we have to work with. And then we start to make suggestions how to get from point A to point B. But it's only your plan. It's not my plan. And that's what we helped Tara do, is come up with this plan. And her plan was to be, number one, she's a wife and mother. She and her husband want to raise a family, and she wants to be a hands-on mother. She's very involved with her children's lives. And then what we want to do is design a practice that supports that life, and it supports the life from the standpoint of the time I have available to do the other things in my life. And besides being a wife and mother, she also wants some time for herself. And then we want to design, you know, how much do we want the income to be to support that life? And then we work backwards from there to design the practice. And one of the things that we do is we have the doctors and their spouse evaluate the team on a scale of 1 to 10 on attitude alone. Now, it's not a ranking of 1 through 10 for 10 staff members. Each person gets a number 1 through 10. And our feeling is that you deserve to have nines and tens on board. Tara, then you discovered you had some people that weren't nines and tens. What did you do?
Well, I got back home and I got busy because that wasn't going to work. And so I did do a classified ad for an assistant, and ended up hiring a girl without any experience, but she's absolutely wonderful. The other lady that was working with me, you said it before, she had 18 years of doing the same thing. She didn't have 18 years of experience, being a dental assistant.
She had 1 year, and she'd done it 18 more times.
Right, right. And so, now I have a new assistant who is totally, gets my vision, and, I just don't have to, I can trust her, and a patient was teasing her today, actually, about upselling her. She came in for a crown, and Carol Ann was talking with her, and now she is going to be getting some veneers done, too. So, Carol Ann's asking also those questions that, we talk about with figuring out what the patient's goals are. And, I had left and done an exam, and I came back, and now I'm doing veneers, at the next visit. So it's pretty amazing.
You mean that very technical question, huh? Would you like fries with your burger?
I'm listening.
Yeah.
Okay, tell us about the rest of your staff. I keep saying staff, I mean team, but tell us about the rest of them.
Yeah. Well, the hygienist that I got with the office when I bought the first one, she was wonderful. She was just kind of hanging in there, and she was just as grateful to see me as I was to, take her. But then, as we went through the program with you from May until August, and Nancy came and visited the office.
Nancy's our consultant.
Yeah. My receptionist was struggling. She was talking about the economy. She was not comfortable talking about money, asking for people to pay, out of pocket. She was just comfortable staying within insurance. And so that wasn't going to work. And I was starting to look for a new receptionist. And at the same time, she was feeling the pressure of the changes that were going on. And she just wasn't on board, and so that was over, and what a blessing that was. I was without I had a friend that filled in for me. It's amazing what you can come up with when you have to, but I had a friend fill in for me for my front desk for a couple weeks, and I ended up hiring a lady that is from the finance world. She's corporate, she says, but she is very good at customer service. And just the words just flow out of her mouth. It's like effortless. I even have chapstick, up there to give away, and she makes you feel like you're getting a nice piece of jewelry, the way she makes it sound. So I'm very excited about my team now.
Mm-hmm. Now, besides your 3-day work week, what's the length of these days? Are they 8-hour days? What's your schedule?
We meet for morning huddle at 7:15. It's a very focused morning huddle. We have specific things we're talking about, which I've learned through your program. And then start seeing patients at 7:30, have an hour lunch, and done with patients at 3:30. And I'm often exercising by 4:15 and back home, by 5:30. And, I've taken some time for me, because that was a goal also, was to be exercising again. So that's my day.
And then how about, working those few days, do you still take weeks off at a time? Or tell us about your vacation schedule.
Oh, absolutely. We actually are going away next week on vacation, but really try to make sure that we space things out evenly, and I'm not waiting to, be taking time off. It's all pretty planned for the rest of the year, and then we just work back from that on what we need our daily goals to be.
Let me show you a concept here. I made some slides up for this presentation, and I want to show all the new doctors that are listening into this program. And this is something we've discovered, and we've been watching dental practices for the last 30 years, watching what works. And we watch practices, and we track certain numbers in practices, and we don't track very many things, but we track production numbers, we track collection numbers, we track diagnosis per day. Diagnosis per day is described or defined by, we present treatment to a patient, but we only count it if we talk about money. If we don't talk about the money, it's just another good idea. But we've noticed that productive time occurs when we come back from a vacation, and we call that the productive phase. Then what happens is we're there for a period of time, and for every one of you this will be different. Then we go into a mechanical stage where we're simply going through the motions, but we're not really productive. And then what happens is if we stay there long enough, we actually hit the burnout stage. And that's when we know we're at the burnout stage, when we say, I really deserve a vacation. I really need a vacation. Well, when you're at that stage, you've already been through the mechanical stage, and you're a long time for the productive stage. And today I was talking to a doctor in Chicago who's been with us about a year, and one of the things that we're discovering in him and charting this is he does really well. He mentioned that he diagnoses right. extremely well on Mondays. Right. Tuesday is almost as good, and by Wednesday it's really falling off, and then by Thursday it's really low. And so one of the things that we're going to do with him is he's going to work Monday, Tuesday, take Wednesday off, and he's going to come back and work on Thursday and go to a three-day work week instead of dragging it out over four. But we find the same thing occurs in weeks since right. a vacation. So what we have done is we have just eliminated that. So as Tara is saying, we've spread these vacations out evenly throughout the year, and the staff gets paid vacation, although one staff member always stays in the office to answer the phone. So, Tara, how many weeks of vacation do you have scheduled for this year of 2009?
8 weeks.
You're taking eight weeks off,
yeah.
And you're still working your three-day work week. Now,
yes.
Given, I'm going to ask you a question. What out of 850 or 800, what do you project your net will be this year?
Well, I would say it's probably going to be about 150.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's after payments on. You just. By the way, you just moved into a new office, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
And that will be after payments on the office and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
So your net really is including amortization, salary, depreciation, and everything is probably more like 40%. So probably more like 300.
Yeah.
Okay. Couple questions I have for you. What kind of treatment do you do?
Well, I place implants,
mm-hmm.
and you know that's what I really enjoy doing. Another, it really is just a general, a little bit of everything. I am excited about doing the implants though, because you know, with the way you know things are going on right now, it still can be more of a health concern, not something that's just cosmetic, but you know, something that somebody really does need done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'll do the veneers too, though. Yeah.
So you do. It's a general practice. You're not a niche practice. How big is Stevens Point?
It's about 30,000.
About 30,000 people. How many dentists are there?
There's 40.
40 dentists, 30,000 people. So it's not exactly out in the middle of the desert someplace.
No.
You have a lot of dental.
No.
And you're fairly close to a dental school, so that's what we expect. I want to throw this open to questions from our audience. We have quite a few people on here. You'll have to hit the *6 button to answer questions. I also noticed that Candace DeLapp is on the phone. Candace has been a client of ours for a number of years. Candace, you and your husband share a practice. Tell us a little bit how you've put balance in your life. I know you've raised a daughter who's in dental school, and she loved the lifestyle that you and Jim showed her, so she decided to become a dentist as well. Tell us a little bit how you do your practice and how you've accomplished the balance in your life, because you live a rich, full life, and it's not just all about dentistry.
Sure. Basically, we practice together, but we don't necessarily practice together at the same time.
Explain that to us.
We each work 2.5 days a week, so I'm there on Mondays. I'm there Monday morning till about noon or 1, depending on my schedule, and then I'm there on Tuesday all day and Thursday all day.
Mm-hmm.
And then Jim is just the reverse of that. He's there all day Monday, all day Wednesday, and he works just part-day Thursday.
Bella.
So we have the advantage of doing some together. And that's nice for the big cases and so forth. But definitely have our own time.
And now Jim coaches a swim team, so he's out of there on his days fairly early as well.
Yeah, he has a real passion for swimming, so he does that. We both have a passion for volunteerism. We do a lot of that. Volunteer at the dental school 2 days a week. He also volunteers at the and then I spend as much of my off time fly fishing as I can get in.
And you live in Denver, Colorado, so that's fairly easy. And now this is a little different model. Candace's husband's also a general dentist, and so they really decided just simply to share a practice, and they do that. We have another couple, Colleen and Jason Ulitsky, who are in Jacksonville, Florida, doing exactly the same thing. They basically practice together. They assist for each other. They do very well. Angela Cameron, you're on the phone here tonight, I noticed also. You and Angela, I don't know. Yeah, you're ready to go there. Now you produced a lot of dentistry last year. Your husband's also a dentist. Although you don't practice together, he practices in a separate practice in a separate town. You're a very high producer, $1.5 million or so last year. I believe you work an abbreviated week too, don't you?
Yes, I see patients 3 days a week.
And tell us a little bit about your year. I mean, I know you took roughly 4 weeks off to have a baby this year. I've
had 6 weeks off already in 2009.
You've had 6 weeks off in 2009. And how much time did you take off last year?
Last year we took off 6 weeks for the whole year. We have 4 more weeks scheduled for this year, so there'll be a total of 10 weeks in 2009.
10 weeks off this year. And you now tell us how you do your 3 days. How does it differ, anything different from what Tara does?
It's a 10-hour day. We start at Huddle at 6:45 in the morning, and then I do all of my production at 7 and noon. So all of my production is done before lunch, and then the afternoon is for the lighter procedures, the less productive procedures. And that's how we do it. So basically by lunch, our office has typically met our goals.
And then when do you do your buffer time or administrative time?
Basically, that's typically on a Friday when I choose to do that, simply because I film some local TV shows and things, and it works out best if I do that on those days. So I just do that on Friday, but it's usually only about 4 hours on Friday that I have to have that buffer time.
So again, about 3.5 days a week total, but 3 days of production and half a day of administrative time.
Right, and the other half of the day on Friday, I always have time to go to the gym. Of course, not after I just had the baby, but I'm back on my routine of getting to the gym every Friday and also making time for massages and things like that.
Very good. So what I see here is we have three women that we've talked to tonight that are balancing their life quite well, Tara being the one that we're basically interviewing from the A-book, but Candace has been a client for a number of years, and she and Jim have certainly a rich, balanced life. Angela Cameron in Johnson City, Tennessee, has a very rich, full life as well, working 3.5 days a week, and she's actually a very high producer. So let's open this up to some questions. You can type your questions in if you happen to be on the computer. You can go to that chat area, and it says type your questions here. You can do it that way, or you can just simply, and I will ask the question for you, or you can type the question in there, and then you click on mouse click on send to all participants, or you can send it to me, whichever you want to do, and you can do it that way, or you can just unmute your phone by hitting *6 and asking a question. Anything is fair. These ladies have volunteered. Tara, in particular, has volunteered to just field any question you feel like asking. So here's your chance. How does she find the balance? I mean, I talk to so many dentists, and I think women have a hard time balancing it, because you come home, you're a mother, and you know, I've been a father of two daughters, but I can tell you that fathers are not as involved as mothers being parents. You definitely have more to juggle than men, I believe, and yet these ladies are doing a very nice job of it. So here's your time for questions.
Bill, this is Dr. Cameron again. I actually have a question for that maybe Dr. Jennings or any of the other doctors can answer. I know you and I have discussed possibly me getting someone to help me at home, like with cooking meals and cleaning and doing some of those things. And I didn't know if anyone had experience with bringing in outside help into their home or how that worked.
I don't know. Tara, do you have any outside help in your home?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. I have a cleaning team that comes every other week and cleans the house from top to bottom. And then I have another lady that comes and does laundry and puts it away and helps me with the dishes and She's even gotten groceries for me before and brought me, you know, she'll bring me some meals every so often also. I couldn't do it without that.
Excellent. That's exactly what I thought you were doing. I think we've talked about that. And Angela,
yeah,
that's what I talked about with you today is, and ladies on the phone, absolutely. I mean, you know, you produce lots of dentistry, and we have time to balance it. And I suggest you do a task analysis, and you list every task that you do. And I do this with all my clients, and you answer two criteria. Does this make money for me or add value to my life? And one of the things I was talking to Angela about today is, you know, with her new baby and her other child at home, I mean, my gosh, working 3 days a week, I suggested that she not only have somebody clean for her, but she also have somebody come in and cook her evening meal for her for those 3 days a week, and that would include buying all the groceries because, you know, we like to say things, does this add value to my life? Well, does it really, or would it be more make more sense to go home and spend the time directly with your children as opposed to cooking? You all know how to do that, so you're not learning anything each night you do it, so let's let somebody else do it a few nights a week. I'm very much in favor of that. And it's the same thing with anything else that you find yourselves doing. You do that task analysis. The task is listed like in an Excel spreadsheet on the left-hand side. How much time do I spend at it? Why do I do it? Who else could do it? Who could I train to do it? And I think some of these things can definitely be delegated. Good question. And you ladies work hard enough and produce enough that you can afford to hire someone to do some of these things for you. Other questions from some of the participants? You've got people here doing 3 days a week. A question that comes up lots of times is, well, how do you produce as much in 3 days as you did in 4 days? Tara?
Well, I have blocks set off in the morning, just like another lady was saying, it's the productions in the morning, and that time is sacred, and that time gets saved, and you know, our prices are set so that we can, you know, hit our daily goals, and we know exactly what we need to get in the morning so that I'm at least at 80% of my goal for the day, and then the afternoon is just kind of unwinding.
Okay, so in other words, you raise the daily goal.
Mm-hmm.
You raise the daily goal, and then you hit those 80% of that goal each morning. You follow our block booking.
Right.
And so every day
Absolutely.
You're there, you're basically at goal.
Yes. And, you know, sometimes people will say, well, that patient always wants a morning or you know, but if they're really pretty flexible. It all depends on, you know, how your people say this thing, you know, sprinkle a little sugar on it. But, you know, people will come in when it's convenient for you also. I've really found that.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you've just learned to schedule very effectively, and you just raised your goal, and you hit 80% in the morning, and so you do it. See, everybody knows they can hit some very productive days, but we spend a lot of days that aren't very productive as well. And by mm-hmm. focusing on focus time, production time, and not doing any administrative time during that time, no staff meetings during that time, we strictly focus on the goal of production, 3 days, and we're done. Now we do the other things. Okay, other questions from people?
Hi, this is Dr. Skordelis. I'm asking all of the ladies, somebody just had a new baby. How did you deal with the office while you were on maternity leave? Did you have somebody covering your office? How did you guys deal with that?
I can take that, Bill, if that's okay.
Go ahead, Angela.
My baby, she's 6.5 weeks old now, and she's just as precious as can be, and this was actually my first full week back in the office. So yesterday was my first day seeing patients.
Congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. And as Bill mentioned, you may remember mentioning, my husband is a dentist as well. He works in a different city for me, but during my maternity leave, he came in and he cut back at his other job, and he came in and covered my practice those days that I was not there. And so he had did this when our first child was born, and it worked out really well, and so that's the way we were able to handle the transition. I felt very fortunate that to have him, that we were able to do that. So the office wasn't actually closed during those 6 weeks, even though my team just got back from a vacation. They all won a bonus trip last year because we had such a great year, so they just all got back from that. So
they all took a week off and went to Hawaii.
Yeah, they were.
That's a good thing.
We were very honored to be able to provide that for them because they are a great team, and that's how we handled the transition. You know, is it perfect? Is everything perfect? Well, no. You just have to do the best with what you have, and that's what happened to be the best for me.
And I will mention that Angela's husband, while he is a dentist, he produced about half as much as Angela normally does, even with the same staff. And so they're coming back, right back. Angela will go right back into gear now, and it will work out. But if you don't have a husband who's a dentist to cover your maternity, you can always find there are lots of dentists. There are dentists out there that are retired. They can come in and basically babysit an office for a month or 6 weeks, and it works out really well. Well, here's a question. How do you convince a spouse that you need to do this program? Gosh, I don't know the answer to that. I'm going to ask Angela or Candy or Tara to answer that question, because you ladies are saying, okay, this sounds great, and my spouse doesn't want to do it, and I don't recognize who wrote that note, but it sounds like somebody wants to do it, and how do you convince a spouse? Tara, I'll let you take it first.
Well, I think my spouse, you know, heard me come home enough, you know, saying these are too long, and, you know, I really miss Teddy this morning, or, you know, he could just see that it was wearing on me also, and that this wasn't the way I wanted to live the rest of my life. And, you know, just kind of talking about with him what our goals were as a family and who we wanted to, you know, be spending the majority of the time with our kids. And I said I wanted, you know, balance, and I just needed some help in getting me there. And, you know, I felt comfortable with your program and, you know, your team.
Could you have done this by yourself?
Absolutely not. No.
Oh, I'd say you could have. It would have taken longer, but you could have done it.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you.
I would have had to hire a little more help.
Okay. All right. Angela, how would you answer that question?
It's interesting you ask, because I remember talking with my husband about doing the program. We were at an AACD meeting when it was in Atlanta a couple of years ago, and he was not on board with it, and basically he talked with you as well, met some of the Blatchford team, and I basically just approached him and said, you know, I know that Dr. Blatchford can help us reach our goals and help us, you know, reach our dreams, and I know that's a unique approach to dental practice management, or it was a unique approach that I'd been exposed to. And once he realized that it wouldn't just be beneficial from a practice management standpoint, because, you know, he'd heard a lot of different practice management people speak, but once he realized it would also affect us and enrich our personal lives, then he became on board, mm-hmm. because he realized it would help make me happier. And everyone hopefully wants their wife to be happy, you know.
And interestingly enough, Angela's husband, who is a dentist, has not taken my program yet.
Yeah.
He thinks he's... So, Candace, what would you say about that?
Well, you know, I think I'm really fortunate in that my husband, we were both of the same mind and really wanting to do this together. I think that early on in our career, we felt like, gosh, we just had roller skates on all the time, and we were working really hard but not really spending a lot of time together. And when we met you, Bill, we were just, I think we're both curious people, and we always want to do something better every year and not be the same dentist last year, mm-hmm. you know, this year that I was last year. And Jim's the same way, and we just felt that, gosh, there's got to be a better way to do this and have more enjoyment in life. And so, really, after speaking with you and Carolyn, for us it was a no-brainer.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, other questions? I see several of you have unmuted your phones, so speak up.
Hi, this is Dr. Lynn Marshall, and my question is kind of a real nuts and bolts. I don't know if you guys can hear me.
Yes, we can hear you.
We'd be very interested in going from 4-day work week to 3-day. Right now we have 4 full hygiene days. And to condense it to 3 days, I'm curious as to how you do the periodic exams where we do find a lot of treatment or sell a lot of treatment, and condense that into 3 days and also stay productive doing the productivity part.
Is this Lynn Marshall in the Bay Area, California?
This is.
Oh, good to talk to you again. Yeah, we have a number of people doing 3 days that had 4 days of hygiene. There are several ways to do it. Do both you and your husband work 3 days?
Actually, I'm still permanently disabled, but my husband's working 4 days.
Okay.
Lynn, so I can't even help him do the exam, really. So
Lynn fell off a horse a few years ago. You have to look at her. She doesn't look disabled. She doesn't have dentistry. So anyway, there's several ways you can do it. You can go to 3 days, and you can have 1 3-day hygienist, and a 1-day hygienist is one way to do it. In other words, you can't, or you can do what Tara does. Tara has her hygienist 3.5 days, and that hygienist is there on the fourth day, and Tara's there doing her administrative things, and she tries to schedule perio as much as possible and things that she doesn't have to come in and check. Because you really want your administrative time to be uninterrupted. You don't want to be doing a hygiene check every hour.
Correct.
Every practice has enough perio that the hygienist could do, and in most states, if in states where a dentist has to be present for the hygienist to see patients, the dentist is present that morning, but we're not checking those patients.
Right, and we tend to have almost a basic full day of the hygiene of the perio. So
that's what we're trying to think
how we can condense it. And right now, 4 days has worked, but I would like to get to 3. So.
Well, it's very easy to do. I can help you do that.
Okay.
It's easy to do, but every office is a little bit different. But yours, I know yours, and it would be very possible. Use the same amount or more. Well, a question I get so often is, how do you take care of your staff when you're taking this much time off? How do they get paid? How are they compensated for all this time off? Tara?
Well, I do pay my on salary, and so they're always getting a paycheck, and that's something that they knew when I hired them. That's the way it was going to be. And with my hygienist, we switched her over to that, but she was on board, and she could see the light at the end of the tunnel with where I was going. And so that was all right. So it's nice because they're still getting the paycheck.
So they get paid on a salary,
mm-hmm.
or a guaranteed number of hours per month, and they get paid straight through even though they take time off. Now, that opens up a whole other concept that we teach, and it's the difference between the time and effort mentality or the time and effort economy, which most people are participants in. In other words, we work a certain number of hours and we get paid a certain amount. And in that kind of an economy, the only way a staff member can get an increase in pay is work more hours. We work in a results economy, and if we can get the work done in less time, then they certainly get paid the same amount. And that's a concept that takes a while to convince doctors of, and doctors' spouses, that, the staff is on vacation and they're still getting paid. Yes. Great question. Tara, anything else you wanted to add to that? I kind of talked over you a bit.
Well, just that they want to be home with their families too, and so they know they're getting that amount, and so they're working hard, to be efficient with their time also.
Very good. And I have a question here about how do you handle the phone when you're out of the office? Do you have them carry a cell phone or somebody in the office, or how do they do that? Or when you're on your 6 or 8 weeks vacation, who handles the phone?
Well, we do alternate. They each get a certain amount of number of weeks off, and we do rotate that so that someone is in the office all the time answering the phone. But we have looked into doing the call forwarding, which is something else I know you talk about, so that someone can even answer the phone at home and, potentially have the schedule right there in front of them.
Mm-hmm. So somebody's always answering the phone. The office is covered, basically. It's just that you're not there. See, so if the staff is getting, if Tara takes 6 weeks and she has 3 staff members, basically each staff member gets 4 weeks of paid vacation, and then they rotate through and one of them answers the phone each of those 6 weeks that she's gone. Is that what you're saying?
Right. That's right.
Yes, and the same thing on the fourth and fifth day. Somebody is answering the phone. There are also services available. There is a new company that I just became acquainted with last week, and I've just started to introduce it to my clients, called Planet DDS. And Planet DDS is a virtual receptionist. And I called them last week to check them out. One of my clients introduced me to them. And it's an interesting situation. The fellow who started it modeled it after the call centers in Bangalore, India, except these are all done in the United States. They speak English as a first language, and these are very well-trained people. They follow exactly the scripts that we teach. When that phone rings electronically, it brings up your individual computer screen. They are looking at your schedule, and they can make appointments for you, and it's 24/7. And I've actually listened to them, and I've listened to a lot of dental offices answer the phone. We do a lot of work with our clients on how to answer the phone, and one of the things that we find is most receptionists don't even ask for the order. That is, they don't ask the patient to make an appointment. This company does an excellent job, and I should tell you a disclosure. I have no financial ties to them whatsoever. I don't even know the people. I just talked to them twice on the phone a week ago. But they do an excellent job, and so the phone can always be answered, because I think a lot of you spend a lot of money and time making the phone ring, and then to put the phone on voicemail 3 days a week is not very good business. It's not very good service. So we have that somebody carrying that cell phone, and they answer it. So that's how we handle the phone. Excellent question. I see a question here from a new grad thinking about buying a small practice in September. At what point should I start a program like this? Tara, how would you answer that question?
Right away.
Sounds pretty clear. I would add to that is I have a daughter who's graduating in June, and we're already in the process of buying a practice for her. And the thing that we're doing is we're not going to make mistakes. Now, I'm not saying we're not going to make any mistakes, but I'll tell you, we're not going to make a lot of mistakes that a lot of young grads do in buying a practice. And I have started with people as early as 8 months before they start their practice. And I can use these names, and Jason and Colleen Olitsky were in our last book. And we started them 8 months before they opened their doors. They started from scratch in Jacksonville and did $900,000 in the first 12 months. And they did that with one employee. And we have taken over purchased practices, starter practices, which is pretty much what Tara purchased. And to think that a year later she's doing $800,000 is pretty phenomenal growth. I say don't dig a hole before you hire us. I'd rather get you and help you from preventing mistakes rather than trying to undo the mistakes that you create. Here's another question coming in, and I don't recognize the name again. These are not normal 8-to-5 staff. How do you find team members, and what questions do you ask? And the doctor wrote this in, my staff would not do this. Tara, what's your answer to that?
How do I hire, or how did I hire?
Well,
what questions
first
I
off,
ask?
These aren't normal. These aren't what you've described to us with your three team members don't sound like the normal 8-to-5 mentality. How did you find your team members?
Well, it was on careerbuilders.com is where I actually, sent out internet. I didn't put any ads in the paper. I wanted people that I knew had computer skills,
uh-huh.
for one thing. And so that's, that was how I really started it. And then, you get a lot of response, or I got a lot of response, from the internet ad. And then I went from there. And I think I advertised, especially for the receptionist, I wanted her to be comfortable talking about money, and I actually put that in there, that,
mm-hmm.
I needed her to be able to talk about money. I need her collecting, and, she, and also that sales was involved in that, and, so that helped me bring in somebody that was comfortable talking about money and had sales experience.
And what questions? I mean, you had to be pretty clear what you were looking for. How did you become clear on that, what you were looking for?
In the person, part of being clear of what I was looking for was knowing what I had and what I didn't want to, have anymore.
Okay.
I think that helped me be very specific. I knew that I, needed a superstar, because I needed a 9 or a 10.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have kept looking if I needed to. And I know that you've had other clients that have done that.
Mm-hmm. What questions did you ask in the interviews with these people?
Well, I asked them, what do they like most about their former job? What do they like least about their former job? Do they like to take instruction? How do they respond when they have some criticism?
Did you ask my question about what's the latest business book they've read?
I did not ask that.
Okay, that's one of the questions I recommend you ask.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Especially if they're going to be in a business position in office, what's the last good business book you read? And I find very often that they look at me like, well, what planet are you from? And yet these are people that claim they have 20 years of experience and they've never read a business book in their life. And I'm looking for curious people. People are always looking for answers.
Yes.
What would you say, here's the last part of that question, is this doctor says that my staff would not, probably wouldn't take that phone home or they wouldn't do that. What would you say to that?
Well, I would say they don't have the proper motivation, is what I would say.
Uh-huh.
And I think that this would also be a concept where the leadership plays into. You've got to have a cheerleader, and that would be me.
Uh-huh. And what would you say if somebody said, Doctor, look, I'm 8 to 5, and I'm not interested in answering the phone on Friday?
Well, you know, then that's just production that is getting missed. That's just not even something that occurs with my girls right now.
Mm-hmm.
It probably would have with my former employees, but, you know, they want to see the office do well because they're going to benefit from that also, and that's just not, you know, something that I see as a problem.
And we do have a bonus system in place there, and your ladies have been bonusing the last few months.
Yes, they have.
But what would you do if somebody said, yeah, I just won't do that?
That's not acceptable.
Okay. I guess the choice is they wouldn't be able to work for you.
Right. No.
Yeah. You know, we have another lady that we work with is in our book, also April Zigley, and one of the comments she made is when they were getting ready to do our program, she had a staff member who said that she'd been involved in a coaching program before and she just wasn't sure she wanted to do this. And April's response was extremely clear. And part of what we do is we help the doctors become very clear on their vision, what they want, and then the staff members really get to choose if they want to be part of that. And April said to this person, she said, that's a decision I've already made. Your choice is whether you want to continue to work here or not. And I want to tell you that April's staff loves her, but they're very clear who the leader is. And I think that's the same thing in Tara. I think Angela is clear about that, and Candace DeLapp as well. Angela, how would you answer that question if your team members did not want to participate or, you know, do the things? And we don't ask anybody to do anything immoral or unethical or illegal, but we do ask them to do some things that may be uncomfortable, like talking about money, asking for the order, asking to go ahead and do those additional treatments. What would you say, Angela?
Well, you know, the tone is set.
And to speak a little bit louder.
The tone is set with the team. Is that better?
Yes.
Can you guys hear me now? I'm kind of soft-spoken sometimes, so I'll try to speak louder. Basically, when I make a decision as a leader, the team understands that I make that decision, and their choice is whether or not they want to be part of my team. If they want to be part of my team, then they have to be in line with my vision and my choices so we can be a stronger team to move forward. Because before I started Dr. Blatchford's program, I had what I felt was an above-average team, but they weren't entirely in line with my vision. So because they were going in slightly different directions, it was dragging me down from reaching my vision.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I just want to emphasize this. So here's this very soft-spoken Angela Cameron, and yet she's an absolutely strong leader. And the reason she's a strong leader is because she's very clear what she wants to accomplish in her life and her practice. And either you want to be part of that or you don't. And it doesn't matter to her what you decide. But if you're going to be here, you're doing it Angela's way. Is that fair enough, Angela?
Right. And, you know, we had people who parted from my team as part of this process, and we parted on good terms because we were adults about it, and, you know, we said, this is how it is. If you want to be part of this, you know, we would love to have you. If not, then no thank you. And some of the people were, you know, I chose to not have them as part of my team, and now we have a team of tens, whereas before I did not. So.
Angela, how many team members do you have?
Currently I have 5.
5. And you did what, 1.5 last year?
Yes, uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. 5 team, 3 days a week, 1.5 million. Not bad, Angela.
Well, thank you.
Not bad. Let me ask you, here's a question somebody wrote in. If I have children, if I take this program, how much time will I be away from home? Tara, how do you handle that? You've had some time away from home. You have, first off, you and your husband came out to Portland for a summit. That was one day. And, of course, when you come from the Midwest, that's a day's travel time, and that's 2 or 3 days. And then you had the two seminars that are 2 days each. They're generally a Thursday, Friday. How'd you arrange that?
Well, I don't have family in town, and so I did have the lady that we use for daycare did take the boys for the summit and when we came out. And then for the Dynamo, I went down by myself with my team, and then we flew out for that one, so that was just 3 days also. And then for the Peak Performance, that was just a drive for us into Chicago, so my husband came to that, and that was ended up being like 2.5 days. So, and the other thing is, you know, you have the consultants, Nancy, and you know, she came to the office, and so that was really nice also.
Thank you. And so the time that you took away from your family was certainly made up in the additional time that you have available to you now after the program and with the additional vacation time that you have. It's a trade-off, and I will tell anybody listening to this that, yes, you have to, you know, to get to this point, there are probably some sacrifices that are going to have to be made, and I think the thing is to weigh the sacrifices versus the benefits that you're going to achieve by doing it. The thing that I see about all three of these ladies on the phone is that when you meet them in person, you know, they're not frantic, which I see so many, not just women dentists, but men as well, frantic, never having time to get things done, never having time for themselves, always seeming like we've got projects that we can't get done. And I think these ladies have learned to compartmentalize their life and to delegate things that they don't need to do to other people so that they do have some free time. Because, you know, I've made a study most of my adult life of studying how effective people work. And one of the things I've learned is that people who are effective get an awful lot done and still have free time. I mean, I want you to notice that all three of these ladies have mentioned their free time. They have time to work out. Candace goes fly fishing, has a lot of time for volunteer work. Volunteering at the dental school a couple days a week, and having talked to some students, she's one of the most popular instructors there. I mean, she's really on the student side. And Angela, during her busy year this last year, I mean, she did her $1.5 million. She had a baby, and she also built a dental office where she also has rental space, which she has fully leased at this point. Tara also built a dental office this year while all this was going on, and they still have free time for themselves. So I think that's the critical thing. You know, we all have this very short life, and it's how you use it. And I see so many people frantically running around not having time for anything. So I think that's the big part of this, is how you achieve balance. I have a video that I almost showed tonight and decided not to show it just for timing, and I didn't want the technology to get away from us, but it's, and you can all go to this video. Go to YouTube, Google YouTube, and type in Life is Short. And it's an Xbox commercial that was never aired, but it is a lady on a delivery table, and she's having a baby, and the baby flies out of the womb, flies through the window of the hospital, and is flying through the air. If you can visualize this, the baby is flying through the sky on its back, head first, and the baby starts out as an infant about the age of Angela's little baby, and then it becomes a young child, then it becomes an older child, then it becomes a teenager, becomes a young man, becomes a middle-aged man, becomes an old man, and within 60 seconds, and the sound that you hear is the sound of a rocket on re-entry into the atmosphere, and then it ends by crashing into a grave. And then you hear organ music. And it really points out that life is really short. And you only have a finite time, as I said, to enjoy it. And some people get the most out of it. And some allow their practice to consume them. And one of my measures of success that I try to get across to my clients, it's really not about how much money you make. You know, it's how much that you get of what your goals are. And what, no matter what your goals are, if you accomplish those goals, you're successful. But what I find is that people get so wrapped up in the dental practice, it's very hard to find this balance between their personal life, their family life, and their practice. And that's to me is more important than, you know, how much money. And I've also learned by watching these very successful people that are happy that they attract more patients to them. They also attract the best team, and they also make the most money. And yet that's not the number one goal. Most of the people that come to me are successful when they start out. And I say everyone who's gotten through dental school is successful. And they come asking for balance. So that's the thing that we really work on. Any other questions from any of you out there in the audience who would like to ask any of these three ladies or myself a question? Patty Bradley, any comments?
I've enjoyed this thoroughly, and I'm actually in Mexico right now. So
very good.
Did take some time out. I'm so happy I joined, and I appreciate everybody sharing. We are still in the first year with you, Bill, and we have made some monumental changes. One thing I'm finding, Tara, when you slow things down, what I'm finding is I still have all these patients, and now I don't have the time, especially in the afternoon. How did you handle that?
Yes.
How your block scheduling is a nuts and bolts question. You block your mornings out for highly productive time. How do you handle your afternoons?
Okay, my afternoon is filled with, you know, I'll have like three crowns that I prep in the morning, and however many crowns I prep in the morning also needs to be how many I, you know, cement in the afternoon, or, you know, that's when, you know, someone can come in for a denture adjustment, you know, just smaller things that, you know, don't take up a lot of time, don't take my energy. And also my assistant enjoys doing crown cements in the afternoon too, because, you know, it's a less stressful appointment for her also. So, and that's just kind of, you know, your odds and ends that I fill the afternoon with, something that's, you know, doesn't need to make me help hit the production at the end of the day when I'm, you know, getting tired.
So you've made your production primarily, and what you're doing now is just cleaning up the odds and ends. And yes, that afternoon, the afternoons will, Patty, will be booked out further in advance than the mornings.
That's what they are, yes.
But it's okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're finding. It's a normal process. It's just, they have to wait. Well, they have to wait.
Yeah.
They're not as
they
important procedure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Tara, I have one last question for you. What would you say the value of coaching is?
Oh, my gosh. It's invaluable, Bill. I think that just working, you know, bouncing ideas off of you, you having the conversations you do with so many other dentists and different perspectives that others, you know, what other people are going through, it's, you're kind of like the tunnel to get to all of that. So, you know, I needed a coach. I needed a cheerleader myself, and that's what I think about the coaching.
Perfect.
I also thought that... I viewed this program as kind of my business school, you know, tuition for my business degree, you know, mm-hmm. that you don't get when you're in dental school, and that's how I approached, you know, going into the program.
That's neat. You know, one of the things I get to do coming up in about a month, I'm going to be giving a lecture at Oregon Health Science Center Dental School, where my daughter's graduating, on what they didn't teach him in dental school. But the only problem is they only gave me 3 hours to cover it. But it's going to be kind of fun to talk about that and some, you know, just some of the things. And really what I'm going to do is give them a pep talk and what the great opportunities mm-hmm. they have in dentistry, because they've chosen the best career they could possibly choose for men and women. It's absolutely incredible. And I think the next 20 years are going to be absolutely phenomenal in dentistry. We are coming up on a shortage of dentists in many areas of the country, and it is going to be phenomenal. Well, I want to thank everybody for being on this call tonight. All of you will receive a call, and all of you will receive a copy of this CD of Playing Your A-Game. It's the same book put on audio. And when you take the call, one of our representatives will get the information, and we'll send that to you. But what I'd like you to do is to alert your receptionist that you're going to be getting a call from a Blatchford representative. And probably what will happen is you'll be with patients, and so tell your receptionist a time when you could actually set up an appointment to talk to one of our representatives. We'll send you this, and talk to that representative, and you know, and discover whether or not our program might be a fit for you. It may be, it may not be. One thing that we pride ourselves in, we do not talk people into this program. This is something that you decide if you see the value. You decide if you want to do it, and if you do, that's fine. And if you decide you want to do it some point in the future, that's fine. And if you decide you don't want any part of this program, that's fine too. I only take about 50 clients a year, so we don't need everybody. So please take the call. Enjoy your evening, and thank you again, Tara, Candace, and Angela for participating in this call. And thank all of you for being on. Thank you.
Thank you.